The following recording is from the previous cycle.
Today's daf is Bava Metzia, daf Nun Beis, and we will begin four lines from the bottom of daf Nun Aleph Amid Beis, Perek Hazov, continuing along with the Sugyas of Einah. Before we begin, I want to say that today's daf is being learnt Le'ilui Nishmas, my brother-in-law, Baruch Doiv, Ben Ramosha Chayim. The Lakewood Daf Yomi app was developed, L'zeichen Nishmas, Chesky's father, Reb Shimon Eider, and it was developed, L'zeichen Nishmas, my brother-in-law, Baruch Weijer. I just wanted to say that today's, my brother-in-law's 8th Yahrzeit, and he was nifta very young, he was 24 years old, he was given a very horrible diagnosis, he was sick for a little more than a year, and then he passed away, and it was very befitting. The feeling that everybody had was that when his petira, Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas Vayera, the Parsha of Valikim Nisa Es Havram, and whoever lived through that last year with my brother-in-law was able to draw many parallels between the Nisayan that Avram Avinu and Yitzchak had, the Nisayan of the Akedah, and the Nisayan that my brother-in-law, together with the family, had to deal with. You know, everyone asks, the Veltz Kasha, that the Schus of the Akedah is a Schus that we mention on Rosh Hashanah, throughout our davening. It's one of the things that have protected Klal Yisrael, l'dayri dayris. The question is that there were many people, generations of people, that were willing to be mois and nefesh, people not in the madrig of the Avos, people that weren't tapped in the way the Avos were. So what was so great that Avram Avinu, Hashem comes to him and he tells him, kachnas binchas yechidcha, that he was willing to fulfill the tzivoy Hashem, and that Yitzchak himself was willing to give up his life. If Kadosh Baruch Hu would come to you tonight and tell you to do something, you'd probably do it. So what was so special? Why is this something that Klal Yisrael is nizayin from l'dayri dayris? And kama kumasim neshtabru, different machshavas, different deheres, to say what the nekuda was. But it's yidua, the Velt says, b'shem the Kotzke Rebbe says that when the Pasuk describes Avram Avinu going to the Akedah, vayashkem Avram baboker, Avram Avinu got up early in the morning, vayachvish es chamoiroi, vayikach eshnei na'orav, had the Katzke Rebbe gezogt. The fact that Avram Avinu was willing to give up his son Yitzchak, maybe that wasn't the godless of the Akedah. The Akedah was vayashkim Avram baboker, that he woke up early in the morning. Zayseimeris, that he slept the night before. The fact that Avram Avinu was able to be mekayim the tzivay Hashem with a ruhkeit, with a simcha, he was calm. It was just another morning. His alarm went off the same time it went up every morning. And today he was going to go be Mekayim, the Tzivoy Hashem, albeit the very difficult Tzivoy of Kachnas, Binchas, Yechidcha. That was the godless of Avraham Avinu. The truth is, I saw recently in the Chidah brings B'Shem, one of the Kadmoinim, that as Avraham Avinu is holding the knife, and he's about to slaughter his own son Yitzchak, and the drama is building. Vayishlach Avram es yodoi, vayikach es hamacheles lishchait es benoi. At that moment, vayikra elav malach Hashem en Hashemayim, a malach called out in Hashemayim, vayoymer Avram, Avram, al tishchak yodchel anar, val taslem uma ka'ati yadat ki re'eli kemata. So the Chidah brings a dover nifla. He says, we know the Gemara says in Masechtas Pesachim, de'ein hashchin ha'shoira, elam yitech simcha. That if a person to be Zoicha, Tashrei Sashchina, certainly Nevuah, he has to be in a state of Simcha. So he says, if the Malach called out Avram Avinu right at that point, it means that he was in a state of Simcha. He said, it's unbelievable. He's about to shecht his son. You know, sometimes in the morning you wake up, you're excited, but a person's lying in the OR. He's about to go under. Even at that point, with the drama building at its climax, he was still in a state where the Shechina could be shayra on him. And the Chidah says the same gedank. He says, that was the godless of the Akedah. Sometimes Hashem gives somebody a Nisayan, and the punchline of the Nisayan is not so much the Nisayan itself, as much as it is, how is the person going to handle the Nisayan? And how is he going to do it? You can do it and you could do it. Avraham Avinu was given a Nisayan, which in itself, the Eichas in the Nisayan was Haflo Vefela, Kachnos, Binchas, Yechidcha. But included in the Nisayan was, how was Avraham going to do it? Was he going to do it in a calm way, or was it going to be not calm? Avram was vayashkim Avram baboyku, he got up early in the morning. He was able to sleep the night before. And even when he was already holding the macheles, lishchit as benoy, even then he was in a state of simcha, he was in a place where he was roif ashroif sashchino. But just bringing it back to my brother-in-law, when Baruch was given his horrible diagnosis, and my in-laws and the family, they were given their tzivoy of kachna as bincha, to take your son. The unbelievable calmness with which they went through the matziv with emunah and betochen, I don't think anybody When I say anybody, the rabbis, my in-laws, my sister-in-law, no one ever heard my brother-in-law complain. No one ever heard him say, why me? He was makabel everything, be'ahava. And sometimes a person in 1 year could be zoicha to, like, Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai said that yesh koin olamo b'shal achas, the shal achas that he experienced during that last year of his life was unbelievable. Either way, made today's learning and really everything that comes from the app and from Chesky's hard work, may it be a schos for Baruch Toiv Ben Ramay Shechaim. So on that note, we continue along the sugyas of Einah, specifically the halacha of Einah as it relates to money. So once upon a time, the currency that was used is different than the currency that we have today. So today, living in the United States, when you think of American dollars, you have pennies, nickels, dimes, quarters, Visa, MasterCard, American Express. So, but once upon a time, the currency obviously was a little different. But it wasn't just different in terms of the denomination. There were fundamental differences. And that is, a coin's value was very much related to how much it weighed. So for example, a shekel was worth a shekel because it weighed a shekel. It didn't just represent a shekel. It had real intrinsic value of a shekel, and that's something that gave it its value. But either way, just as an introduction, there are a few coins that we have to become familiar with in order for us to understand today's daf. A sela, which is the largest coin as it relates to today's daf, is made up of two shkalim. A shekel is made up of two dinarim. A dinar is made up of 6 mois. A ma is made up of 2 pundyonim. A pundyon is made up of 2 isurim. There's going to be a test on this. Working backwards, there are 2 isurim in the pundyon, 2 pundyonim in the ma, 6 mois in the dinar, 2 dinarim in the shekel, or 2 shkolim in the sela. Put a little bit differently, a sela has in it 2 shkolim, being that each shekel has 2 dinarim. That means a sela is made up of 4 dinar. Each dinar has 6 mois, which means a sela is made up of 24 mois, which is made up then of 48 pundyonim, which is made up then of 96 isar. It'll be a little bit clearer as we go through the Mishnah. Zok the Mishnah. Kamet yasal chaseiro, v'lo yehei bo'inah. So just like this halacha of oinah, if somebody sells a talis, or he sells any item of metaltalin, that if the price was either too high or too low, in and around the number of a shtus, 1/6, we have the halachas that we discussed the last 2 days in the daf. If somebody gives somebody money, and he charges him for the money, so to speak, but he overcharges him or undercharges him, so there's a shir or not. What is that shir? So whereas previously we saw 2 shiurim, shtus, and of course Reb Tarfon of the sugi of Tagri Ludfame's number of a shlish. Here we have 3 shittas in the Mishnah. Meir says, Arba isarois isoladinar. The shear would be 4 isarois to the sela. Now, if you halted cup earlier, there were 96 isarim to the sela, which then means if it's 4 isarois to the sela, it's going to be 96 divided by 4, which is 24. In other words, it's 1/24. So for each dinar, it's 1 isar. There are 4 dinarim in a sela, which means that for each sela, it's 4 dinarim. Arba isarois to the sela is the same as 1 isar to the dinar, simply because there are 4 dinarim to the isar. But the bottom line is, the shir oina, if you want to simplify it, it's 1/24. Rabbi Yehuda says, Arba pundyoinois. It's 4 pundyoinois to the sela, which then means 1 pundyoin ladino. Because again, there are 4 dinarim to each sela. How many pundyoinim are there in a sela? 48. If it's 4 pundyoinim to the sela, it's a fourth of 48, which is 12. In other words, it's going to be 1/12. That's what the shiroi no is going to be. Reb Shimon says, Shmoina pundyoinois. It's not arba pundyoinois, but rather it's shmoina pundyoinois, which is shnei pundyoinim ledinar. It's not 1 pundyoin to the dinar, but it's 2 pundyoinim to the dinar. Again, 8 pundyoinois to the sela is the equivalent of 2 pundyoinois to the dinar, because there are 4 dinarim in each sela, which then means it's not 1/24th, it's not 1/12th, but rather it's 1/6th, which incidentally is the same as the shear that we had in the previous mission. It's really going to be a shtos. A masa mutalachsa, at what point, or up until which point, is the person allowed to be chayzer, meaning if somebody finds out later that he was ripped off. There's a statute of limitations as far as how long you have a right to go back to collect. Bikrakim, if you live in a city, ad kadesh yar l'shulchani, you have enough time to show it to a money changer. If you had enough time to show it to the money changer and you didn't go back to tell the person that gave you the seller that you were ripped off, it's too late already. Then the statute of limitations already passed. Up until that point, you can. Bikfarim, if you live in a village, Ad Arvi Shabbos is until Erev Shabbos. The Mishnah is going to ask the obvious question that in the previous sugya, there was no distinction between someone that lives Bikrakim in a big city versus someone that lives in a small village. The halacha always was Ad Sheyar L'Shulchani. So how come over here do we, yes, make this distinction between someone that lives in a big city and someone that lives in a kfar? Hoye Makira, if the statute of limitations passed, and somebody finds out that he was ripped off. 6 months later, he goes over to the person that gave him the seller. He says, you gave me a seller, you ripped me off. It was missing 3 sarim, whatever. You didn't give me what it was supposed to have. So the halacha is, afilu la'achash ne'mas ha'chaydesh, even after 12 months, and Yud Beis Chaydesh is a significant zman as it relates to Yiyush, in ames mishtakech ha'alev, al'achad Yud Beis Chaydesh. So there's an idea that a person maybe forget, he was moichel, he was miyayesh, it doesn't matter. Even after 12 months, makabel he'menu, you should be makabel it. The Mishnah, the Gemara is going to explain what exactly this means. The Noisel Ma'aseh Sheni. Additionally, if you have a seller that's chaser, you can use it for Ma'aseh Sheni. The Enei Choishesh She'enei Ela Nefesh Ra, and that is the topic of tomorrow's daf. Either way, the Mishnah gave the Shir Oina as it relates to the seller. It's not as simple as a shtus or the Reptar from a shlish, but rather there were 3 shittas in the Mishnah. According to Rameyer, it was Arba Yisoros to the Sela, which is 1/24th. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it was Arba Pundyoinos to the Sela, which is 1/12th. And according to Rabbi Shimon, it was Shmoina Pundyoinos to the Sela, which is 1/6th. But either way, it sounds like from the Mishnah that if you hit this number, 1/24th, 1/12th, or 1/6th respectively, it won't be Oino. Kama Tehei HaSela Chaseira, means if it hits, if it was 1/24th, it's not going to be. What's the shir oino? And the Bryce over there gives the same 3 shirim that we had in our Mishnah. So it's the shirim of our Mishnah a shir oino, or is it not shir oino? It seems to be a blatant stira. Our Tana was going from 0 to higher, meaning up until which point is there going to be no oina, v'loy ad b'chlal? Because if you hit the number of either a 24th, a 12th, or a 6th, there actually is oina. The other braisa that says, kama te'asel chaseir v'yia ba'oina, it was giving the minimum shear, which is oina. And again, it's the same shiurim. It's 1/24th, 1/12th, and 1/6th respectively. So again, even though the lashon of the Mishnah is different, the halacha of the Mishnah is really the same. The shear oina is 1/24th, 1/12th, or 1/6th, says the Gemara. Maishah b'sala the pligi, maishah b'talos the loy pligi. How come in our Mishnah we have 3 shiurim, a 24th, a 12th, and a 6th? And when it comes to a talis, everybody knows that what's the shir oino? Besides, for according to Rav Tarfon, what's the shir oino? It's always a shtos, it's always a 6th. Rav said, man tana talis, Rav Shimon. Who's the tana of talis? It's Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon was the 3rd sheet in our Mishnah. He was the one that said 1/6th. The previous Mishnah that said that the shir oino is always a shtus, is going according to Rav Shimon in this Mishnah. But en hachinami, according to Rav Meir in this Mishnah, according to Rav Yehuda in this Mishnah, the shir oino ba'alma will not be a 6th. It will be a 24th, or it will be a 12th. Abaya argues with Rava. Abaya said no. It could be there's no machlokes by talis, there is a machlokes by sela. Talis, that shtus, machalinish. Up to a 6th, a person's moichel, according to everybody. Meaning there's nobody that holds that a 24th is already going to be oino, or a 12th is already going to be oino. Everybody holds that it's only oino if it's a bigger number. It's already a shtus. The Amri Inchi, because people say, oshik ligabach, v'shavi lekarsach. A person should overspend when it comes to buying clothing. So this is your Makarta designer clothing. But v'shavi lekresach, but when it comes to buying food, then you should be a little bit of a kamsim. Don't overspend when it comes to food. But when it comes to a talis, comes to clothing, oshik ligabach, overspend. So up to a 6th, a person is willing to overspend. Beyond that, already not. But when it comes to sela, mois, kibit le sagi le loy machol. If you're going to pay too much for a sela, then you're not going to be able to use the sela. Because money, as we're going to see in a moment, that is chaser. If you have a sela that's missing, it was rubbed out a little bit, it doesn't weigh the full sela, it's not so oivel l'seicher. And being that it's not so oivel l'seicher, it's for that reason people tend not to be meichel gufa. At kamatei asela chaseira v'yehei ba'oino. According to Rava, the same achloikis that you have by Ma'is, you have by Talis. According to Abaya, there really is no machloikis by Talis, because by Talis, everybody holds that the Shirai No has to be a shtos. It's not by Ma'is, where people are more sensitive. So over here, it could be the Shirai No would be, even if it's a smaller makufa. So this is the Braisa that we mentioned earlier. The Braisa, the Gemara asked the Viramini. Our Mishnah gave these three shiurim and described these shiurim as a shiur where lo yehe ba'ina. The Gemara said, Viramini, I have a Braisa that mentions the same three shiurim, and there it says v'yehe ba'ina. So here the Gemara is going to bring the Braisa in its entirety. Meir says, arbu yisaris is l'dina. It's four yisaris to the seller, which is one yisar to the dinar, 124. Read up here, this is dalu punyoyna, it's four punyoyna to the seller, which is a punyan l'dina. Again, four dinarim in the seller, so it's one punyan for each dinar, which is 112. Reb Shimon says, it's 8 pinyonos to the seller, which is 2 pinyonim to the dinar, it's 1/6. Yes, sir, okay? More than that, meichra b'shavi. The Gemara later is going to explain what that means. So now the Mishnah is discussing another halacha. If the seller goes bad, forget I know. You're an honest person. You would never give somebody a seller that doesn't weigh the full seller. This is not a shayla vayna. This is a shayla. I have a sela, and it started rubbing out a little bit. It's not a full sela anymore. Am I allowed to keep it even, or am I not allowed to keep it? And the reason maybe I shouldn't be able to keep it is because there's a parsha in the Torah, and we'll try to speak out some rate about this tomorrow, where if somebody has a weight, a mishkal, something that's inaccurate, you're not even allowed to keep it in your house, lest you come one day to use it and be machshel somebody, to rip somebody off. So there's a certain shear where if the money goes bad, again, forget the sugya of ayinah, you're not even allowed to keep it at all. So we're talking about a seller that's missing a 24th, a 12th, a 6th, as it relates to ayinah. There's a shear, obviously lower than that, where if it's so rubbed out, it's so chaser, you wouldn't be able to use it, period. That's what the Bryce is discussing. And again, the cheat sheet said there's two shkolim to the seller. So that means that up until 50% of its weight, it sounds like you'd be allowed to keep it. Bidinar, a dinar, ad reiva. Up until a quarter. Pachas mikain, iser, aser. We'll see later what that line in the Braisa means. Now, what's the halacha with regards to a sela that's rubbed out to the point that you're not allowed to keep it, or a shekel that's rubbed out to the point that you're not allowed to keep it? Hareze lo yim kereni, not allowed to sell. Loy letaga, not to a merchant, v'loy lechara, not to a ganev, v'loy laharig, not to a roitzeach, mipnesha merabim ba'asacher. So what do you do with it? Eli yikvenov, yitvenov, b'tzavar, b'noyoy, b'tzavar, b'tit. Make a necklace out of it. Give it either to your son, or to your daughter, but the bottom line is that you could use it for something like that. Beyond that, you're not allowed to use it. So the Gemara is going to go back now and go into this brisa. If you have a sela and it got rubbed out to the point where it's a shekel, you're allowed to keep it. Anything less than a shekel, you're not allowed to keep it anymore. Bidinar, if you had a dinar, then it's adreiva, up until a quarter. Ma'ishlam, sela, shekel, ma'ishlam, dinar, adreiva. The Gemara understands that sela, you're allowed to keep up until a shekel, because they're too shkolim to the seller, and means that if it got rubbed out 50% of its weight, you're allowed to keep it. Beneath the shekel, at that point, you're not allowed to keep it anymore. But when it comes to the dinar, what was the shear? Raifa, a quarter. Why a quarter of the dinar? Why aren't we consistent? As it relates to the seller, it's a half a seller. As it relates to the dinar, it's a quarter of a dinar, l'chura, it should have been a half a dinar, just like it's a half a sela. Amar Abaya, Abaya said that's really what it means. My roiva diktani nami, roiva shekel. When it says roiva, it doesn't mean a quarter of a dinar. It means a quarter of a shekel. And there's two dinarim in the shekel, again, referring to the cheat sheet. There's two dinarim in the shekel, being that there are two dinarim in the shekel, a quarter of a shekel is really a half a dinar. So it's a half a sela, half a dinar. So if you have a sela and it was rubbed out, it's chaser now, up until half, you can keep it. But below half, you're not allowed to keep it anymore. The same is true for a dinar. Half you can keep it, below half you can't. Why does it say roiva? It doesn't mean the roiva of the dinar, it means the roiva of the shekel. There's two dinarim in the shekel, so a quarter of a shekel is really a half a dinar. It's the same thing. Omar Rava, and Rava said, Deikonami. If you medayik the lashon abraisa, it's really mefurish this way. The katani roiva, v'loy katani revia. The proper grammar, had it meant a quarter of a dinar, would have been revia. It says roiva, Rashi says, roiva is matbeya katan shel chatzi dinar. It's talking about a specific coin. And that coin was a matbeya katan. It was a half a dinar. And that's what the price is saying. That a dinar is allowed to be used if it's up until the roiva. The roiva was the roiva of a shekel, which was a chatzi dinar. So it's the same exact shear. It's chatzi. Says the Gemara then, lomalei l'metalya l'dinar b'shekel. Why then did the Braisa say it this way? The Braisa gave us a very misleading halacha. The sela you're allowed to keep up until a half a sela. The dinar you're allowed to keep if it's up to a quarter of a shekel. Zugrud, the dinar you're allowed to keep if it's up to a half a dinar. Sela is a half a sela. Dinar should be a half a dinar. Why are you talking in terms of shekel when you're describing the dinar? Says the Gemara, Milsa agav orche kamash malon, but derech agav, the time of the Braisa wanted to tell me, halacha, the ikka dinar da asi mishekel, that if somebody has a shekel, and the shekel's getting rubbed out, and it got to the point now where it's a dinar, or even a less than a dinar, the halacha is you're allowed to keep it. And they say, le rav ami, dam rav ami, dinar haba mishekel mutal lekaimoy, a dinar that came for a shekel you're allowed to keep, dinar haba misela asur lekaimoy. So if you want to take a sela and turn it into its dinarim. How many dinarim on a sela? Four. There's two shkalim in a sela, two dinarim in a shekel. So if you want to make a sela into four dinarim, you're not allowed to do it. That's what we said earlier. The dinar you can't use below the shekel. You can't, the sela you can't use when it goes below a shekel. You're not allowed to convert a sela into dinarim. But you are allowed to convert a shekel into dinarim, and that's what the Milsa Agavurcha is that we're going to talk about the dinar in terms of how much shkolim are in this dinar, a half, a quarter, and the purpose of it is to show that you're allowed to use a shekel for dinarim, although you're not allowed to use a sela for dinarim, says the Gemara Vayta. Pachas mikain iser aser. So again, we're learning a braisa. The braisa began with the loch vayna, and that's why we mentioned it, but there were some other things that were mentioned in the braisa that's really the real topic of today's daf. So again, referring to the braisa that was mentioned on the top of the yomit. The braisa began with ad kamate asela chaseira v'yeheba oino. What's the shir oino? And the braisa mentioned the three shittas that were mentioned in our Mishnah. And then the braisa continued ad mosai ad kamati poches v'yehe rashoy lekaimo ad shekel bedina ad roiva ad besela ad shekel bedina ad roiva. Up until what point, if it's chaser, are you allowed to use it, period? And that's what we said. The sela is a shekel, which is a half a sela. The dinar is the roiva of the shekel, which is a half a dinar. Pachas mikain iser aser. What does that line mean? Pachas mikain iser aser. And more specifically, is it going back on the first halach of the braisa or the second halach of the braisa? The first halach of the braisa was the shir oyna when it comes to matbeos. The second halach in the braisa was up until what point are you even allowed to keep it? Ad masai also lekaima. So says the Gemara, the blind of the braisa was pachas mikain iser. If it's even an iser is the equivalent of the penny, the 96 sarim in the sela. The iser is like the penny. If it was one penny lower, that loch is also my karma. What's it going back on? I'm Rabbi Yochi karma. Pichas asela yoyse mikitei no. If somebody was pachas from the sela, more than the shiroina, 1/24, 1/12, 1/6 respectively, iser. Meaning it was an iser more than what the shiroina is aser. At that point, you were over the iseroina. Amalei Rava. Rava said, I disagree. It shouldn't even have to be an iser. Meaning an iser is a penny, but maybe there's even less than a penny. An iser is fart ashir. A mashu. Why iser? Iser is at least ashir. It shouldn't even have to be that. Even a mashu should be enough. Anything beyond the shiroina, it's oina. So why iser? Ela marava. Pichaso sela. Iser. Ledinar asur v'stamer krame. You know what the Braisa is saying? The Braisa is saying that even though I just told you this three shittas, what the shiroina by a sela is, what the shiroina by matbeya is, but the halacha is like Rameir. Who was Rameir? Rameir was the first shita mentioned who said 1/24. What was Rameir's methodology? Four isarois to the sela, which means one isar for each dinar, because again they're four dinarim in each sela. So if it's four isaris for the sela, by definition, it means one isar for each dinar. And that's that line of the braisa. Pachos mikain iser aser. If you are pachos from the dinar, one iser aser, because that is the shir, I know, according to Rav Meir. And even though in the beginning of the Braisa, Rav Meir is mentioned as one of three shittas, over here in the middle of the Braisa, the Tana of the Braisa is so same, stam Braisa, like Rav Meir, to show that halacha is really like Rav Meir, that it's really going to be 124. Tan Hasam, another Mishnah discussing these halachas. Selah and Ifsel, if somebody had a selah that went bad, this skin, and he fixed it. So he refurbished his selah. It's a real selah now. And he did it, Shei Shekel B'Mishkolo, he says, Kamana was, and he wanted to use it as a weight. So he sells things. You want to have a weight in your house? That was an important thing that people needed once upon a time. He needed a seller. It was broken. He fixed it. Now he has a good seller. Tameya. That lochas is mekabel tuma. Because being that in your mind you're going to use it for a mishkol, it's a keli. Keli ma mekabel tuma. I come at the pachas ve'erashay l'kaimo. So the Mishnah continues with regards to a halacha that we're discussing. Up until what point? Meaning we mentioned the seller shenifsala. So let's talk a little bit about a seller shenifsala. Now that Mishnah is a Mishnah mesachtes kelim. The real topic of that sugya is the halachas of tuma. But b'derech agav, we mentioned the seller shenifsala. If you fixed it and now it's proper weight, it's makabel tuma. So the derech aga, up until what point is a seller that's nifchas, that's chaser, allowed to be used? This seller, if it's a seller, shnei dinarim, two dinarim, meaning a shekel. Pachas mikain, less than that, yakut. So you have to get rid of it. Yes, or al kemai. What if it's more? So if it's less than half the weight of the seller, you have to get rid of it. Incidentally, we saw that in the previous price. Right? Seller, we said up to a half, you're allowed to keep it. And shekel, we said up to a half a dinar. Up to a dinar, you're allowed to keep it as well. This Mishnah is discussing this halacha also, but the Mishnah is a little more sussum. It says, pachas mikain. Pachas mikain sounds like if it's less than half, yakutz. What if it's more? It says, machloikas amayron. Amrafuna, pachas mikain yakutz, yeser alkein yakutz. If it's less, yakutz, and if it's more, yakutz. Rabbi Ami argues, pachas mikain yakutz, yeser alkein yakain. If it's more than half, then you're allowed to be mikain. Now, according to Rav Huna, Pachas Mikain Yakutz and Yes Alkein Yakutz. So why did the Mishnah and Caleb say Pachas Mikain? It's not Pachas Mikain. It's either Pachas Mikain or it's Yeser Alkein. Why did it say Pachas Mikain? So Rashi explains, because Pachas Mikain is Tarek Bemashma. It can mean two things. It can mean that if the coin itself is less than half, Yakutz, or it could mean that if the amount that was Chasser, not the state of the coin right now, but the sheer of the Chisarin, the amount that it was chaser is less than half, also the halach is going to be yakutz. So when are you allowed to keep it? If it's up until the shir oina, according to Rav Huna, you're allowed to keep it. Again, you have a selah, it was chaser. If it was chaser within the shir oina, you can keep it. What's the shir oina? 1/24, 1/12, 1/6, 3 shittas in the mishnah, 3 shittas in the brayis. Anything beyond that, you're not allowed to keep. And it's all nichlal in the lashon of pachas mikain. Pachas mikain, if the amount of the chesaron is less than a half a sella, or if it decreased to a shear of less than a half a sella, either or, the halachas, you have to get rid of it. Rav Ami argues. Rav Ami said, pachas mikain is yachutz. If right now it's less than a half a sella, you have to get rid of it. As Zoyvi is giving mashman the previous braisa. Yes or okay, if the chesaron itself was pachas, but right now the coin itself is more than a half a sella, even if it's less than the shear oina, the halacha is yikayim, you're allowed to keep it. Meisavei, I'll ask you a kasha. Yeser alkein, moichra b'shavya. That was another one of the lines in the previous braisa, that when we read the braisa in the beginning, it was mefarish l'kamon. We didn't really know what it meant. So the braisa over there discussed the shirai na, and then it said a loshin. Yeser alkein, moichra b'shavya. What does it mean, yeser alkein, moichra b'shavya? It sounds like at first glance, that even if it's lower, meaning the chesaron was more than the shirai na, even though there's a shir oina, so if you sell it as if it's a seller, for example, it would be a problem. You'd be over the isser oina, but b'shavya, you are allowed to sell it. My love, shapichas ayoisa mikdei oinasa, and still you see, moichra b'shavya, you're allowed to keep it. So it's a raya to Rav Ami, it's a kasha to Rav Huna. So the Gemara says, loy, yaseira dakati loy pichas abikidei oinasa. It's talking about where it didn't come to the shir oina yet. So within the shir oina, meaning the Pchas, the chesaron is less than the 1/24. It's less than the 1/12. It's less than the 1/6. Moichra b'shavya. If it's the shir oina, not. But anything more than that, it's not moichra b'shavya. According to Rav Huna, you would have to get rid of it. Moichra b'shavya. So the Gemara, Meitzvah, I'll ask you a kash. I can't be the bachas v'yirash ha'il ha'kaima. B'sela ad shekel. The braisa earlier that discussed this same exact halacha, ad kamati pachis ve'erasha ilakayma, it said very clearly, a sela up until half, and a shekel up until half. So what's the question? And a dinar up until, the shir was always a half. So if the shir is a half, how does it stem with shitas rafuna? Bishlan, according to Rav Ami, it's very good. Up until a half, you're allowed to keep it. Anything below a half, you're not allowed to keep. But Rav Huna said that it's not just pachas mikain, it's yeser alkain as well. Doesn't stem with the previous braisa. Says the Gemara, meaning the Mishnah Kalin Rav Huna was able to be mefarish, the pachas mikain doesn't just mean that the coin now is less than half. The chesaron itself, if it's less than half, the halach is going to be yakos. So in the Mishnah Kalin, you could be soivel Rav Huna's pshat, but the Baraisa that said ad kama ti paches v'yehei rashoi l'kaima, that seems pretty clear that up until half rashoi l'kaima, you're allowed to keep it. So that's true according to Rav Ami, that pachas mikain means only if it's taka less than half. But according to Rav Huna, how do you understand? Stand it, says the Gemara again. Meisvei akame tu pachas ve'erasha l'kaima b'salat sheka. My lab the pachas porta porta loyd. Nafal enura va'achves b'chadazimla. You know what that price means? That price means that if it got knocked off in one shot, then the halacha is if it got knocked up to a half, then you're allowed to keep it. But anything less than a half or anything more than a half, you're taka not allowed to keep it. Meaning akame tu pachas doesn't mean that as it gets lower and lower with time, it rubs out a little bit. You're allowed to keep it up until half. No, it's not true. Because once it's rubbed out more than the shiraina, less than half, yakutz. The halacha is you have to get rid of it. Just like if it's less than half, you have to get rid of it. If it's more than half, you have to get rid of it as well. What does it mean, akamati paches? Where it didn't get rubbed off a little at a time, but rather in one shot, it fell into a fire, for example. It was nothing lenura, the afchis b'chadazimna, and in one swoop, it got knocked off. So if that, right now, you look at it, if it's the exact half, you're allowed to keep it. And the reason is, because a half a sel is a shekel. You could use it at least as a shekel. You could use it for what it's worth. But anything more, anything less is going to be misleading, and that you're going to have to get rid of. So although at first glance, it sounded like from the Braisa we had a raya to Rav Ami's pshat in the Mishnah Maseches Kelim. We in fact do not have a raya. Omamar, yakvenevi atlana b'tzava b'noyi b'tzava b'tzava. So what do you do with this coin from here till the end of the daf is much lighter. So what do you do with this coin that you don't want to do with? It's something that you're not allowed to use. It's not over the soicher anymore because it looks like a seller and it's not a seller. It looks like a shekel or dinar. It's really not. So you have to get rid of it. So the price is said, there's an eitzah. You can make a necklace out of it. Give it to your son or to your daughter for a mini. Lo yaseno mishkol, bein mishkol lo yisav. A price is said, Mefurish not that way. That if you have this coin that you're not allowed to use, you can't use it as a weight. You can't put it together with all your scrap metals. You're not allowed to use it for a necklace either. Rub it out. So these are all synonyms. Just destroy it. Get rid of it. Throw it into the Yam HaMelech. But you have a stira. Could you use it as a necklace? Could you not use it as a necklace? It depends. If you're going to use it as a pendant for a necklace, but you're going to drill the hole in the middle, that's mutter. That's okay. Because people will see, when they see the hole, if at some point in the future you want to fool people, they're going to say, this was once a pendant on a necklace. They're going to know that there's something wrong with it. The issue would be making the hole on the side. If you're going to make the hole on the side, then one day you may shave off the area where the hole is, and then you're going to use it as a coin again. So that's usher to do if it's on the side. Because at some point in the future, some ramois might come from it. If you're going to put it in the middle, there it's going to be okay. What was the statute of limitations? How much after you were ripped off, are you allowed to go claim that I want my money back? In the big cities, it's until you have enough time to show it to the money changers, big farm in the villages, at Arvi Shabbosis. What we spoke out of the Mishnah, how come by a talis, it's one shir? It's actually Yaru Shulchani, and over here, you have two shirim. It depends on if you live in a small city or in a big city. I'm Rabbi Kitanami Masisim Batalis. So Abaya said, like he said in the previous Gemara, that it's really all one Mishnah. There's no chiluk in halacha between the money and between the talis, just like there's no machloikis with regards to the 24th, the 12th, and the 6th. There's no nafkamina with regards to how much time you have to go back either. The Mishnah was talking about a big city, and that's why the Mishnah mentioned Achiyar l'shulchaniyu, Achiyar l'tagar. But as it relates to the kvarim, the villages, it's Erev Shabbos. It's not Rava Amar. Rava said, meaning Knan, period. Rava Amar, Talis called Inish Kimle Begava. Sela. Talis, people are familiar, Pachas Yaisa, how much a Talis is worth. But money, Kimle Lab called Inish Kimle Begava. You have to be a little bit of a expert, a little bit of a professional to fully understand the weights and the value of money. Therefore, Hilkach Bekrakim, the Kesholchani, in the bigger cities where there were Shulchanis, actually, Shulchani, that was the Shir. Bekfarm, like a Shulchani, but in the villages, there were no Shulchanis. They physically weren't there. So if somebody wanted to go to a Shulchani, what would he have to do? He'd have to take the train to the big city, and you have to go out there and meet one of those shulchanis. the people in the villages wouldn't often go to the big city. When did they go? By Friday they were here. Masechtas Megillah, you have, they went on Mondays and Thursdays. That's the Mishnah of Megillah that pays, Megillah on the grass. But here on Erev Shabbos, they're probably by a shulchani exchanging money so that they could buy food with Tzarchi Shabbos. It's like the Erev Shabbos passes and you didn't go back. At that point, the Siman passes. It's all going to Shulchan. But up until that time, it doesn't matter. Meaning, according to Rava, there is a chilik between a talis and money. Talis, people are Bekiyan. So even in the Kvarim, it's at Sheyara. But in the, as it relates to money, you need a physical shulchani. The one no shulchani is in the kfarim. By Friday, you probably made it to the shulchani. That's where that shir, that's what the shir is going to be. Last halacha for today. So again, you have a shir oina with regards to money. The halacha is that you only have a chiyuv to give the money back if the person comes back within a certain period of time. If it's a big city, if it's a kfarim, you have it till the end of the week. You have until Erev Shabbos. Stating that, the Mishnah came back and said, let's say somebody goes, he says, this sela you gave me, and it wasn't a sela. It was really less than a sela. So, if you recognize that this is my sela, it's taka my sela, you should give it back. What are we talking about? If we're discussing big cities, you just said you don't have to give it back. Once this man of Yar L'Shulchani passes, you don't have to give anything back. And Ibe Kfarim, if we're talking about a village, you gave me the Shia for the Kfarim, which was Erev Shabbos. So what's going on over here? The Mishnah is literally contradicting itself one line to the next. You started off saying that there's a shear, there's a statute of limitations. Achiyar l'shulchani, what ad arvi shabbos says. And then, in the next breath, says the Mishnah, Hoya makira, if I recognize that a fil achash name also chaydush b'kabli menu, you have to take it back. So, mamon of shach, what's going on over here? Says the Gemara, Rav Chizda said, midas chasidah shanukan. Mishnah doesn't usually do this, but here the Mishnah is doing it. Says the Mishnah, I'm going to tell you the midas chasidah. Me'ikur adin, you're right. You don't have to take it back. But the midas chasidah, the right thing to do would be to take it back. Yehachi fake the Gemara, how do you understand the next line of the Mishnah? Eima seifa, de'ein lo yo'olav, ela tayroimis. The Mishnah said, me'kabwe menu, take it back even after 12 months, but you can only have tainus. But beyond that, you can't. Frank the Gemara, who? Tehavile, the man. Ila chassid. Are you talking about the chassid? Meaning you're telling the chassid that you could only have kindness. Loi kabuli likbele mine. Veloi taroimus tehavile. I don't understand. You're going to take it back and then you're going to have kindness. You don't really have to take it back. It's midas chassidus. You're telling the person, you could, meaning take it back or give it back. Give it back. Mitzad midas chasidus, and all you can have is tainus. If the person is not willing to be a chasid and he's not willing to give it back, then don't give it back and don't have tainus. Why are you telling the person be a chasid and have tainus? Seems a little bizarre. Maybe the Mishnah is talking about the person that gave it back, meaning the person that's getting is the beneficiary of this swap. The person that had previously been ripped off, now he's getting his money back from the person that gave him this sela chasir, and we're saying that the person should give you the money back, and you should only have tainus. Why is he having tainus? Guy was very nice. It's true. Maybe he's having tainus on what happened a year ago. He ripped him off. But right now you're going to have tainus? Right now he just made you whole. So why would you have tainus? I mean, how do you understand that line of the Braisa? It says the Gemara, Hachi Kamar, Ha'acha, Athal Pisha, Ein Mekabla, Heimenu, Ein Loyolav, Ela Tarimus. Meaning, if somebody was involved in this money exchange and he found out afterwards that he got ripped off, it was Yosef Mikidei Aino. So what's the halacha? Ne'ikar Adin, you have up until Kidei Shiyar L'Shulchani, if you live in a big city, at Arvi Shabbos, if you live in a kfar, to get your money back. Once that Zman passes, Me'ikar Adin, you have no right to get your money back. You have no claim anymore. There's a midas chasidus for the person, Imaya Makira, if he recognizes that, yeah, this is the seller I gave you and I ripped you off. There's a midas chasidus to give it back. He doesn't have to do it, but it's a midas chasidus. If the person chooses not to be a chasid, not interested in being a chasid, it's not what I want to do. I want to go me'ikar adin, shur sadin I'm okay with, lefnim shur sadin is something I'm not interested in. Then the halacha is, the person has a right to do that. The recipient can kick and he can yell and he can scream. All he could have is tainus, but beyond tainus he can't have. We always speak out from Rabbi Saul Salanta. Rabbi Saul Salanta used to say that the Gemara says sometimes, you have to tell a person to have tainus. If a person wants to have tainus, he's going to have tainus. So he said, Tyroimus is nicht kein Hefgewalt. A person doesn't just have a right to have Tyroimus whenever he wants. Sometimes, yesh le'ol of Tyroimus, and sometimes, ain le'ol of Tyroimus. So today's daf was a technical daf, again, because we're not so familiar with the coins and the weights, things that are discussed, but really, you want to keep it very high level. The daf was very, very simple. The daf said that just like there's a halacha of oina, when it comes to buying something, there's halacha of oina when it comes to exchanging money as well. What's the shir oina? The Mishnah mentioned three shiurim, 1/24, 1/12, 1/6. And machlokes is Abaye and Rava. Whether these same three shiurim are the three shiurim that are mentioned by Mekka Chamemka by Atalis, but for whatever reason, here we mentioned the three shiurim, there we only mentioned the one shir shtos. Or it could be, no, it could be, although by a talis everyone agrees that the shiroi knows shtos, over here there's going to be three independent shiurim. Another halacha that was discussed in the daf, really me'inyan le'inyan ba'is inyan, and that was if somebody has a sela and it got rubbed off, it decayed a little bit with time, and now it's less than a sela. Am I even allowed to keep it? I can't use it as a sela, that's oina. And sometimes the mekach is chayzer. But can I keep it to use it for what it really is worth? 3/4 of a sela. Can I use it or not? So it depends. There was a braisa that was a little bit ambiguous, and there was a mishnah masachtes kelim, which was also ambiguous. At the end of the day, it seemed to come down to a machloikis amayram, a machloikis rafuna, and ravami. Everybody agrees. If the sela was rubbed off to the point where it's less than a sela, you're certainly not allowed to use it. If someone had a dinar, that was also mentioned in the sugya, and now it's less than a half a dinar, you're not allowed to use it. So a sela that's less than half a sela, you can't use it. A dinar that's less than half a dinar, you're not allowed to use it. The question was, what if it's a sela, it was rubbed off, but it's not a full half, it's 3/4 of a dinar. A 3/4 of a sela. Or you have a dinar that's 3/4 of a dinar. Am I allowed to use it or am I not allowed to use it? The Mishnah Masechtas Kelim said, Pachas Mikain Yakutz. Rav Huna said, Pachas Mikain and Yeser Alkain are both included in the word Pachas Mikain. So that as long as it's rubbed off, even if it's not less than half, it's more than half. It's right now it's 60% of a sela. You're still not going to be able to use it. Rav Ami said, no. Pachas Mikain Yakutz, Yeser Alkain Yikain.
The following raid bite is being added to the daf as in Yana Dioma.
One of the themes of the raid, since we started Tam and Nishchat, was the sugya and the idea of whether it would be theoretically, hypothetically, okay for a person to bring a carbon bisman hazeh. So, as promised, I think it's kedai, maybe just take a few steps backwards, won't take that long, and just to go through the inyan a little bit about the tumult that took place in the 19th century, it's a vision, gedoyle, gedoyle yoylam, as it relates to bringing karbonos bizman hazeh. The story begins with a yid whose name was Reb Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer. Reb Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer was born in the city of Lisa. The Nesivos was the Rav in Lisa, Reb Yaakov Milisa. He was born in the year 1795, and he passed away in the year 1874. When he was very young, he learned by the Rav in Lisa, the Nesivos. And when he got a little older, he left Lisa, he went to Pozna, and he became a Talmud Muvik of Rav Kiva Eger. The Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer had this dream of having Yidden go to Eretz Yisrael, settle the land, and maybe even bring karbonos. And this is something that he wanted to do very, very badly. And he started tumbling and writing and corresponding with the Gedolim at the time, and to see if he can try to get them to garner support. It's like this is something that he'd be able to do. Now, just one disclaimer. It's important to note that Reb Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer wasn't the first person in Jewish history that made this tumult after Churban Bayis Sheni and tried bringing karbonos bezman hazeh. The most notable before Reb Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer was in the times of the Rishonim, one of the French Tosafos, less, I think Robert Weil would say. And that was Rabbi Yechiel Miparis. And Rabbi Yechiel Miparis, he was one of the Bali Toisfis, he was from Paris. He made Aliyah, he went to Eretz Yisrael, and his dream was to bring karbonos. He worked it out, and he felt that this was something that you'd be able to do. And there was a sefer called Kaftov Aferach. It was written by a Yid whose name was Rabbi Shturi Aparchi. That name may sound a little familiar. Rabbi Shturi Aparchi was the author of the Sefer Kaftav Aferach, and he chronicled Rabbi Yechiel Miparis' dream and the trials and tribulations and some of the halachic nukudos of him trying to go and bring a carbon bizman hazeh. Several hundred years later, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, in his Shelas Yaivitz, this is a Chelik Aleph Simen Pei Tes, he wrote a tshuva regarding what the Kaftov of Ferach had written about Rabbi Yechiel Mipariz's his vision and his dream to try to bring a carbon b'zman hazeh. And in that tshuva, he discussed a lot of the halachas of whether or not you would be able to bring carbonos b'zman hazeh. But it's important just to understand that even though Rabbi Yaakov Emden's tshuva is often quoted in this tumul and in this discussion, but Rabbi Yaakov Emden was nifter decades before Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer was born. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden's tshuva was not written related to the big tumul that happened in the 19th century, but it was more of an abstract tshuva that was written with regards to a piece of history, and that is there was a Yid once, Rabbi Shturi Aparchi, who wrote about Rabbi Yechiel Paris, who wanted to bring karbonos bizman hazeh. And he just discussed, did they ever bring karbonos after the Churban Tavi, the Eved of Rabbi Gamliel? That was the one of the rabbis that we spoke about. But the point is that Rabbi Yaakov Emden wasn't opining on this discussion. The discussion happened several decades after the Patira of Yaakov Emden. But either way, Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer very much wanted to do this, and he started corresponding with the Gedolim. Now, it's important to understand where Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer was coming from. The reason he felt that he wanted to reinvigorate Karbonos Bizman Hazeh is because he felt that this was a very important step in the Geula Hasidah. And he felt that Klal Yisrael is going to merit the Geula when they go to Eretz Yisrael, and they make hishtadlus to try to acting as if the Geula is going to come. And it's when we establish the initial Osiris and we show how badly we want it, that's going to be Ma'ir and Shemayim, and then eventually the Beis HaMikdash HaMaila is going to come down, the Eish Ata Asid Lefnoisa, and then we're going to have the Beis HaMikdash all over again. And he proved from many sources, really, really early sources, that this is the way the Geula is going to happen. Just to mention a few. He quoted the Radak in Sefer Tehillim, Halali Nafshi. The Pasuk says, Al tiftachu b'nedivim b'ven adam she'in lo yisashua. Zok the Radak, Tehillim Kuf Mem Vav. Quote, Ki lashem levadoi hatshua. Because of course, Al tiftachu b'nedivim b'ven adam she'in lo yisashua. The shua is going to come from the ben adam. It's not coming from the nadiv. It's going to come from the Eivishta. However, listen to the Radak. V'hu yisoy v'veno al yad b'nei adam. But when the Eivishta brings the Yeshua, he's going to bring it through b'nei adam. K'moysha sivev chuas golas bavel ayidei kodesh. Just like the Yidden, after Churban Bayis Rishon, when they came back to Eretz Yisrael and they rebuilt the second Beis HaMikdash, how did they rebuild the second Beis HaMikdash? The seed didn't split. The way they rebuilt the second Beis HaMikdash was Cyrus the Great, Koresh, Daryavish, who was the son of Achashverosh and Esther, gave the Yidden permission to go build a second Beis HaMikdash. It says the Radak, the Geula is going to come through the Malchei Hagoyim, sheyares rucham l'shalcham, that the Eibishto leifsarim lachem biyad Hashem is going to be ma'ir the ruach, the geist of these big ministers and these very powerful people, and he's going to give them the inspiration to give the Jews permission to go build the Beis HaMikdash. So Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer said it's in the first Radak, that the way the Geula is going to come is by lobbying the powerful people in the world, and we have to begin. This is our Ishtadlis. We daven Yerushalayim Ircha, we have to make Ishtadlis also. And this is something that we have to do. Another one of the Mekairis that Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer quoted was the Ramban in his Pirush on Shir HaShirim. It's on the Pasuk, Ha'elef Lecha Shloimoy, says the Ramban, Reishas HaGeula Asida, Tia al pirishyoin hamalchios, viyektsas kibus galios. It's going to be a little bit of a kibus galios, and it's going to happen through the permission of the government. The achakach, after that happens, Yosef Hashem Yisbarach Sheinus Yadai, and then there's going to be the real geula. Kedechsin v'shav Hashem alikecha shvuscha v'shav v'kibetzcha mikol ha'amim. It's Rabban in Shir HaShirim. Another one of the Makaris that he quoted was the Rabbeinu B'chai. These are all Rishonim. In Parsha Shmini, the Medrash Tanchuma says, Loma nimshul malchus zu, referring to Edom, lechazer. So Daniel, in his dream, saw Malchus Edom, and Malchus Edom looked like a chazer, a dover acher. So he said, why was it referred to a chazer? Because Edom is like a chazer. Chazer means like the chazer, right? He's going to bring back, lechazer. He's going to bring back atar liyoshna. Says Rabbeinu Bechaya, quote, V'inyan, Gishtei HaMikdashim nivnu al Yedei Yisrael. Both Bati Mikdashim that we have were built al Yedei the Yid, by Yisrishim bana Shloima, by Yisheni bana Zerubavim. But it was done under the guidance and the governance of Kirish. But the third base of Mikdash, so you would think the third base of Mishavada, it's going to, Asida Umazul if Noisai, Edom is going to build. And say Rabbeinu Bachya, this is what the Medrash Tanchuma means. When it says Asid Lahachza Atar Liyoshna, Lefisha Hu Echrivai, Ula Asid Yoshuvim Shar Kala Koiches, with the same Ganskite that Rome used to destroy the second base Hamikdash, Lazoy Velismech Liyisrael Ki Arba Shalom Boilam. They're going to be the ones that are going to rebuild the base Hamikdash. So said Rav Tzvirsh Kalasher, I have a Radak, I have a Ramban, they said that the way the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built, it's going to happen through all the governments. So we have to make our establishment. Let's get moving. Let's start lobbying. And let's start doing what it is that we have to do. And then he said that, in fact, that if you really want to bring out the point, he said it's a Mefurish HaSafri. The Pasuk says, L'shichnoi Sidrishu Uvasr Shama, says the Sifri. L'shichnoi Sidrishu, D'roishna Opi Hanavi. You're supposed to darshan, you should want Eretz Yisrael IPin. So you think, okay, wait for a Navi, right? That's usually what we think. A Navi's going to show up. It's sight. And let's go do what we need to do. Talmud loy mar no. L'shichnei sidru v'asar shama. D'roi shum mitzah. You first do what you need to do. V'achakach. Afterwards, Yoyim Alachon Navi, V'chein Atamoytzim, B'David, V'chulei, V'chulei. It's a Sefri in Parshas Re'eh. Since said Rav Tzvirsh Kalasher, that I think this is what you're supposed to do. So, this is what Rav Tzvirsh Kalasher did. He sat down, he wrote a Sefer. The name of the Sefer is Drishas Tzion. And Drishas Tzion was made up of three parts. The first part in Drishas Tzion was more the Hashkafa, more the background to understand where he was coming from. He felt that this was the right thing to do because ultimately this is going to bring the Geula. So what we need to do is we have to understand that the Geula is going to come via, not just tefillah, but also shtadlus. This is where Tzvi Yishkalashim felt. Second part of this sefer was, he spoke about Milas Eretz Yisrael, that we have to understand what Eretz Yisrael is. And then the third part of the sefer was, that if we all go to Eretz Yisrael, we'll even be able to bring karbanas. And he said, if we can bring karbanas, that's gaval. That's already taking it to another level. And this was something that he felt he can do. So Tzvi Yishkalashim writes the sefer in Drisha Siyan, and he sends it to his Rebbe, Rav Kiveger. And Rav Kiveger looked at it, and Rav Kiveger responded. And then Rav Tzvi Yishkalashim responded to Rav Kiveger. And Rav Kiveger responded back to Rav Tzvi Yishkalashim. We don't have all the respondents, but we have a lot of it. It's printed in the Drishas Tzion, and it's printed in the Chelek Hei of the Shalos Teshuvos Rav Kiveger. But Rav Tzvi Yishkalashim didn't stop there. He sent it to the Chassam Sofer. He sent it to Rav Yaakov Ettlinger. The first simon in Shailos Teshuvos Binyan Tzion that was written by the Baal Aruch Laner, Rav Yaakov Ettlinger, one of the great goyim of the 19th century, was written to Rav Tzvi Yishkalashim. It was on this topic, on this noise. Is he right in his thought that it's possible to be able to bring karbanos bizman hazeh? He wrote letters to the Maratz Chiyos. He wrote letters to Rav Leo Gutmacher. And really the whole Galicia and Hungary, everybody was coughing, everybody was tumbling. This wasn't just, let's bring karbanos. This was a movement. This was a hashkafa. This is a whole different mindset. This was an idea of maybe the Yidden can go ahead and can go to Eretz Yisrael. I discussed this tumult, more the historical aspect of it, with the rabbi, historian, Rabbi David Katz. And he told me, you just have to understand a little bit where Rav Tzvi Yishkalashim was coming from. He said, at that time, there was an unbelievable feeling of nationalism in the world. Right? The patriots had just received the American Revolution, 1776, Ukraine. He said there were countries no one ever heard of that had just gained independence. And Rav Tzvi Yishkalashim believed, everything's for Klal Yisrael. Bereishis, b'shul ha-Torah sh'nikra'eshis, b'shul Yisrael sh'nikra'eshis. So if there's such a ruach in the world right now of nationalism and of countries being able to leave their bondage and suddenly be free and be able to express themselves the way historically they have, why shouldn't the Jews be able to do it? But more than that, it must be for the Yidden. What else is it for? It's for the French? It's for us. Of course that's what it's about. And he believed very, very deeply that this is what this, that's what motivated him. This is where he was coming from. And as a result, this was something that he wanted to do. So I thought, just to discuss the super high level, rapid fire, bullet point style, some of the halachic issues that are pretty obvious, and a lot of them touch on the sugis that we've been learning as it relates to, is it theoretically possible today to bring a karma? So the first issue is, there's no Beis HaMikdash. So if there's no Beis HaMikdash, how are you going to be able to bring karbanos? So the answer to this question starts with the Gemara Masechtas Megillah, and it's really Gemara in many places. But the Gemara says, Shamati Shemakriven Afal Pi She'en Bayis. There's a musig that you can bring karbanos, even though there's no Beis HaMikdash. Now the truth is, that Gemara says that memra of Shamati Shemakriven Afal Pi She'en Bayis is really totally in an age-old machloikis. One of the biggest machloikis in a Shas, and that is Kedusha Rishoyna, Kitchel L'Shaita V'Kitchel L'Asen Lavoi, or Kedusha Rishoyna, Kitchel L'Shaita V'Lai Kitchel L'Asen Lavoi. Kedusha Shniya,
kitchel shnaita the kitchel lasavoy, or kedusha shniya kitchel shnaita floy kitchel lasavoy. When Yeshua ben Nun conquered Eretz Yisrael, Tzemerstenmal, he was mekadosh Eretz Yisrael. He was mekadosh Yerushalayim. He was mekadosh the makom hamikdash. Then the base of mikdash was destroyed. What happened to that kedusha? Did it go away together with the Churban, or it was kitchel shnaita? And it was kitchel lasavoy. In the times of Ezra, when the Yidden went to Eretz Yisrael for the second time, again they were mekadosh Eretz Yisrael. What happened to that kedusha? Did that kedusha go away, or was it kitchel l'shaita? Like kitchel l'asalav. So if you hold kedusha l'shaita, kitchel l'shaita, kitchel l'asalav, or kedusha shnei kitchel l'shaita, kitchel l'asalav, so then theoretically, even though there's no Beis Hamikdash, but you have the kedusha of the Beis Hamikdash, you don't need the walls of the Beis Hamikdash, you need the kedusha of the Beis Hamikdash. So if kedusha l'shaita is kitchel l'shaita, kedusha shnei is kitchel l'shaita, kitchel l'asalav, can zechan etzah gave, then there'd be an etzah. If you hold kedusha is like kitchel l'asalav, then it would be a problem. Okay, so what's the halacha? So Tzvias Kalish said, open up a Rambam. In the Rambam, in Hilchos Peis Abchira, Perek Vav, Halacha Tezvav. One of the most famous Rambams in Yad Chazaka Paskins, that Kedusha Rishon is Kitchel Ashaita, Veloy Kitchel Asalavai. Eretz Yisrael doesn't have Kedusha nowadays. That's why there's no Chiyuv Trumas and Maisvus according to the Rambam as Manazah. However, Kedusha Yerushalayim in the Beis Hamikdash is different. That's Kitchel Asalavai. Why? The fee says the Rambam, Kedusha Hamikdash from Yerushalayim v'pnei Ashchina. Because Kedusha Yerushalayim in the Beis Hamikdash is because of the Shechina. That's what gives us its Kedusha. V'shechina ena b'teila. I don't have to do with Shloimeh HaMelech, not only do Yeshua ben Nun, not only do it Ezra, not only do it Zerubbabel, not only do it Koresh, it has to do with the Shechina, and the Shechina is there. You go to the Kaisam HaRabi today, is the Shechina. And if the Shechina there, then says the Rambam, even though there's no Kedusha Eretz Yisrael, but Kedusha Yerushalayim Beis HaMikdash there will be. The Ravid argues. The Rambam says, I disagree. There's no Kedusha Yerushalayim Bezman HaZeh. And then the Rambam says, then the Ravid says something that's been quoted, where the Ravid says, L'fichach, I believe, HaNichnas At Hashem. If somebody would enter the Har HaBayis today, even though he's Tomei, because he doesn't have the Paraduma, inevitably he's Tomei, ain't by Karis. He won't be Chayiv Karis. But that's a whole nother conversation for a whole nother day. But I think this is enough for one raid, Mike. But so the center of Tirish Kalasher, so in the final analysis, Machlekes Rambam Raiv, according to the Rambam, Yerushalayim has Kedusha. The Beis Hamikdash has Kedusha. According to the Ravid, it doesn't. According to the Rambam, you can bring Karbonus Bezman HaZeh. According to the Ravid, you can't bring Karbonus Bezman HaZeh. Okay, so Muscho Rishon, it's a problem. According to the Rambam, you could do it. According to the Ravid, you can't. But Tzedra, Tziyash Kalasher, it's Pashit. If the Ravid's right, that Kedusha Rishon is Kitchel Shnaita V'loi Kitchel Asad Lavoi, that Yerushalayim, the Beis Hamikdash, doesn't have any Kedusha, so you know what you can do? You build a Bama, and you can bring the carbon on a Bama. What would prevent you today from going to an animal, saying Harezu Pesach, Harezu Chatas, Harezu Oila, and shechting it? Can't shecht outside the Beis Hamikdash. There's no Beis Hamikdash. What's outside the Beis Hamikdash? So if you have Kedushas Beis Hamikdash b'zman hazeh, so then it's Shechutei Chutz. You can't check. If there's no Kedushas Beis Hamikdash b'zman hazeh, you can't check. You know what makes this cheshbon? The Gemara sort of does. So if that's the case, Eretz Yisrael Kalish, and Maman of Shach, you could do it. Like the Rambam, that Kedushas Yerushalayim is Kitchel Lasin Lavoi, so go check, bring a carbon. And like the Ravid, okay, so you didn't do anything wrong anyways. You were makriv a carbon on a bama. And there's no Isser Bamais if there's no Kedusha, because there's no Chutz. Because there's no insides, he can't have an outside. So he's a man of shach. If based on what I think, this is something you should be able to do. So Tziyash Kalish said, even though at first glance, the first issue that you're going to throw out is, hey, there's no Beis HaMikdash. There's no Beis HaMikdash, how could you do it? But really, it's not a problem, because man of shach, like the Rambam, you theoretically have a Beis HaMikdash, and even like the Rav, even like the Ravid, there's a Heter Bamas. So based on that, it wouldn't be a problem. The second issue is Toma, we're all Tame. If we're Tame, how are you going to go to the Beis HaMikdash, how are you going to stop bringing karbanos? So Tzvi'ash Kalisher said, that's true. I'll have to concede part of that point. That is, we'll have to limit what we do to karbanos tzibur. By a carbon tzibur, we have a sugya of Tomah Hutcher b'tzibur. We have a sugya of Tomah T'choyi b'tzibur. You could bring it to Tomah, and as a result, it won't be around. And Chanami, if someone was Mechal Shabbos b'shoigig, and v'kosav al pinkosoy, the k'shiyubana Beis HaMikdash, avichat ha'shmeina, he's not ready for that. Basically, we don't have the Beis HaMikdash yet. We don't have the Efer of the Paraduma. But you want to go ahead and bring a carbon Tzibur, that's something you can bring the Tumah. So Lechura, that's something you'd be able to do. But there's another obvious problem. What about Kehanim? You don't have Kehanim. You can say, what do you mean? Of course you have Kehanim. But the truth is, right? Ellie's looking at me. Sweet. So of course we have Kehanim. But do we have Kehanim Yuchasim? So the truth is, lahalacha, even a koyim miyuchis, doesn't matter if your name is Kohn, Katz, or Rappaport, but at the end of the day, you're only going to consider yourself a koyim l'chumra. There's no such thing as being a kohen l'kula. So for example, a kohen doesn't marry a gerusha. A kohen won't go into a beis hakfaras even if his name is not Rappaport, right? Kohanim don't do that. But at the same time, you know a kohen that eats challah? So if a woman is mafresh challah, what are you supposed to do with a challah? You're supposed to give it to a kohen. The Magen Avraham brings from a rivash that kohanim don't eat challah b'zman. No one does. No kohen eats aser. It's often halach and shulchan aruch. Why not? Because we're chayshish that maybe the yichus is not a good yichus. And because maybe the yichus is not a good yichus, so l'chayra, based on that, it should be a problem. If we don't trust the yichus as it relates to eating challah, you would think you can't trust the yichus as it relates to bringing karbonis. So if Tzviyash Kalash wrote a whole pilpul to answer this seemingly very difficult question, and he said a very big chiddush. His chiddush, in short, without going through the whole tumult, because that's a raid bite onto itself. But his chiddush basically was that today, being that there's no way to be mevarer, who's a kohen and who's not a kohen, so it's for that reason you could be soimach on roiv and you could be soimach on chazaka. What's roiv? Roiv is roiv bilas achar abal, and as a result, you assume going back that really you probably are a kohen. And this chazakis as well, and he worked it all out, and he said based on roivs and chazakis, you could do it. Now to eat challah, you don't have to eat challah. So we're not going to be soimach on it, we'll burn it. But if you could bring a carbon, maybe you have to bring a carbon. And if you have to bring a carbon, and you have a roiv and a chazakah to be soimach on, maybe you should be soimach on a roiv and a chazakah. And even though he says that the Gemara says in different places they weren't soimach on chazakis and these types of things when it came to kahuna, he said that's because they didn't need to. Because the only time you go with a chazak and a roiv is where it's impossible to be, where it's impossible to be mavar. They had ability to be mavar. They had kanyanim that you didn't have to come on to all these hoops in order to establish. So as a result, why should you be soimach on kulas? But b'zman hazeh, we don't have any other eitzah. There's no one has ksav yichus anymore. So based on that, l'chur, this is something you should be able to do. Reb Kiveger gave Reb Tzvi Hirsch Kalish a very hard time on this point. They went back and forth in the tshuvas. Kiveger said, the Messiah is, we don't have Kiyanim, Yuchasim, Chazokins, and Roivs. He was basing it on a Mishnah, by the way. Mamish came from a Mishnah. A Mishnah, Masech Tzid, is fascinating. But either way, Reb Kiveger wasn't so comfortable with it. But that wasn't the reason Reb Kiveger ultimately rejected Reb Tzvi Hirsch Kalish's idea. The reason he rejected it was because of the next halachic issue. So again, we discussed, there's no Beis HaMikdash. What happened to Tumah? You don't have Kiyanim, Yuchasim. But there was a bigger problem. And this ultimately sealed the fate of Reb Tzvi Hirsch Kalisher's idea as far as Reb Kiveger was concerned. And that is, we need big day kahuna. Very interesting. So you need big day kahuna. So you can have a kohen. You're going to say, his name is Katz. He could do the avodah. Okay, you have to show up with your with the dalet begudim. Right? You're going to have to show up with your big day kahuna. The problem is, the avnate had tcheles inside of it. It had argamon. It had shesh. So we know shesh is linen. That's easy. What's tcheles? What's tchelis? Right? It's a big enough tumor when it comes to tzitzis. So Reb Kiveger said, Reb Kiveger's time, it was before the Rizin Rebbe, he didn't have any tchelis. He said, where are you going to find tchelis? So Tzvi Hirsch Kalish said, I'm not in a spa. He said, why not? Because the truth is, the Rambam Shita is that the tchelis of the Big Day Kahuna was not the same tchelis of tzitzis. The tchelis of the tzitzis has to come from the Dama Chilazon. And we don't want what the chilazon is. But the Rambam sheet is the tchelos of the big human didn't come from the chilazon. So if it didn't come from the chilazon, so it's not really going to be a problem. So Kveg said, I could live with that. I can live with that. I can live with the fact that we keep a soimich on the Rambam. And we can say that tchelos just means blue wool. So make blue wool, even if it's not from the chilazon, it's going to be okay. But you know what Kveg's problem was? His problem was our gomon. What's our gomon? So they touched it when I was in yeshiva, purple wool in Yiddish. I went to Chassan Sofer, but purple wool. Right? So that's what it was. It's purple. But the truth is, machloikis rishonim. Not all the rishonim say it's purple. Some rishonim say it's red. And it's a machloikis whether the argaman is red or the argaman is purple. So Reb Kiveger said at the end of the day, he told Reb Tzvi Hirsch Kalisher, Tumah, Beis HaMikdash, Kehana Miyuchasim. Again, he wasn't that thrilled with all these ideas. But at the same time, maybe Mackenzie Chanetz gave in. But he said at the end of the day, the Embiodeinu Lasso is our Gaman. We don't know our Gaman. And if we don't know our Gaman, then how in the world are we going to go ahead and do the Avodah? In other words, what Kiveger said was, you know what, you can't do the Avodah today? Because we don't have a Gartel. That's what he said. Just imagine, you're going to do the Avodah. That's right. My father always says that, like they say that somebody once said, how come by the Litvisha there's no mitzvah tans? So he said, how are you going to do the Avodah? So that's what it boiled down to. That's what sealed the faith. Kideke said, there's no Gartel. Why is there no Gartel? Because you need our Gaman. Forget about the Tchelis. You need our Gaman. That's a trick. And he says it. We don't know what it is. We know if it's red, if it's purple. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to be Machria. That's what Reb Kiveger said. But truth, there were other issues as well. Another issue is Machza Shekel. How else can we machsa shekel? Karbonus tzibur. But at the end of the day, how were the karbonus tzibur paid for? It was all through the machsa shekel. We don't have the machsa shekel. You're going to get the whole Klal Yisrael now to figure out a way to do it. So that's a little bit of an issue. So the truth is, Rabbi Yaakov Emden already addressed this in his truv in the Shelas Nyayvitz when he discussed what the Kaft of Atherach, Rabbi Shturi Aparchi, spoke about. And he said that really for the machsa shekel, there's one of two eitzes. One eitze is, you can have somebody maybe sponsor the machsa shekel on behalf of the oilam. Now the truth is, machloik is in the Gemara if it works. Rabbi Yossi holds it works. Rabbi Yossi is the mukayimoy, and you for sure, Rabbi Yaakov Emden felt, could be soymech on Shitas Rabbi Yossi, and somebody will give it over for the oilam, as long as he does it, ben nidvas aleif, it works. And we could be soymech on Rabbi Yossi, and maybe that's going to be the eitzah. The other eitzah is, you bring a Korban Pesach. At least the Korban Pesach you're going to have. Korban Pesach doesn't require machzah shekel. So Korban Pesach without machzah shekel, that's something you'd be able to do. There was another big problem, and that's what Rabbi Chesky was asking. What about the Mizbeach? Right, you need a Mizbeach. You don't need a Beis HaMikdash. Fine. You can make that work. But you need a Mizbeach. And the Mizbeach has to be in its proper place. And it's even more than that. It's, what's that? No, but on the tzad that the Leiter Rambam Shitti, you're going to have a Mizbeach. And the truth is, it's even more than that. Because you're going to start bringing karbonis. We know that when the Beis HaMikdash was built originally, the Pasuk says, "Akol b'ksav miyad Hashem olai hiskel." It's Pasuk in Yecheskel. It was done alpi neviim. Even by Yesheni, when it was built the second time, Nevi'im had to come. Nevi'im had to tell the Yidden how to build the second Beis HaMikdash. Who were the Nevi'im? Chagai, Schari, Malachi. Right? The story, all the Nevu'as of Bayesheni are written in Sefer Chagai, as in Chav Dalid Kislev fame. Right? So it's written in Sefer Chagai. But that's where all these Nevu'as are written. But the point is that it had to be done al-Pi Nevu'ah. There's no Nevi'im. So if there's no Nevi'im, we don't know where the Mizbeach is supposed to go. So if we don't know where the Mizbeach is supposed to go, how are we going to go ahead and do this? So Reb Tzvi Hashkalish says something fascinating, something brilliant. This is what he said. He said that once upon a time, when the first Beis HaMikdash was built, how are you supposed to know where to build the Beis HaMikdash? So they had to go ahead, and you needed a Novi to tell us where to build the Beis HaMikdash. Second Beis HaMikdash, the same thing. He says, you know why? Because we say in Al-Nari's Bavel that when the Babylonians destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, it was Ada Yisoidba. Aru, Aru, Ada Yisoidba. They ripped out the foundation. There was no remnant of the Beis HaMikdash. And because there was no remnant of the Beis HaMikdash, so how are you supposed to know where to put him as Beach? We're back to square one. We have no idea where it goes. So they need a Nevi'im to come. Chagis Gai Malachi with the Nevi'im that they told him where to do it. He said, but today you can work it out. You know why? Because today we have a remnant of the Beis HaMikdash. So we have the Kaisal HaMaravi. And the Kaisal HaMaravi was one of the walls, the western wall of the Har HaBayis. So he said, open up Masechtas Midas, and open up the Rambam and Yad Chazak, and we're writing tshuvas, he said, in Erech Chaim, in Yeridei, and Chayshu Mishpah, and Ezer. Let's write a tshuva, Masechtas Midas. Why not? Torahi. And let's sit down and figure out where the Mizbeach is supposed to go. So Tzvi Hashkalish said, by Yesheni, they need a Nevi'im. Because it was Aurora the Yisoidba. But Hank, we have the Kaisal HaMaravi. It's not Aurora the Yisoidba. So go ahead, work with the Kaisal HaMaravi and figure out where it's supposed to go. Gevaldik. Some had a problem with it. Because under it felt, if you look at the Rambam's Lashon in Hilchas Beis Hamchira, the Rambam says like this, Brisker Rambam, HaMizbeach Mekoimoy Mechuvin Biyoyser. Ram says the mukkan is mechuvin biyoyser. You can't get it like approximately right. It has to be mechuvin biyoyser. The ain meshanin oisoy mi mekoymoy la'olav. And Ram gives a whole mussar shu about all the things that happened in that place. That's where the akedah happened. That's where the marishan was created from in Adama. That's where Noach brought his karbanis. But he said everything happened. Everything that place is so mechuvin. He said you're going to go ahead under a tainet and you're going to make him mechuvin biyoyser. He said that's something that's impossible. He said I don't believe you're going to be able to do this. Rabbi Kamenetsky asked me last night another kashna. He said, I don't understand. We paskin tuma dechuya betzibur. Right? We're learning the sugyas now. Since Bachleg is in Shas, tuma hucha betzibur or tuma dechuya betzibur. The Ram Shita is tuma dechuya betzibur. Now, the Gemara said, Lamai nafkamina of tuma hucha betzibur, tuma dechuya betzibur. So there's nafkaminas. But a big one is if you hold tuma dechuya betzibur, you have to come onto the tzitz. So if you have to come onto the tzitz, you would need a kohen gadol. So like you should be able to have a tzitz. You can find a kohen. This is mamish not a guy. Kohen gadol, right? Yeah, even tzitz out. So how are you going to find a kohen gadol? So you now already need a kohen gadol with a tzitz. So this is already come out impossible. It's a chiddush to me. I mean, it's such a gevaldig kasha. I found this kasha in the Beis Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak Shmelkis asks this kasha. But obviously, the Achreina Masar, everybody handled this. So everyone knew the Rambam. So Daf Ma'inzan, Abyssal Besser, why the Achreina weren't bothered by this? But I was, the Shicha. Oh, that's also right, because you need the Shemen HaMishcha also, which is part of the problem of having a Kohen Gadol, and it's part of a problem with the Mizbeach. So what happened to the Shemen HaMishcha? That's going to be another issue. Either way, we're cutting this a little bit short, but there are, needless to say, many, many halachic issues as it relates to this. The bottom line is, from Tzviyash Kalisha was mafalfel. He went back and forth with the Ge'oina Yoyla, and at the end of the day, Rav Tzviyash Kalisha, he was holding his own, and this was something that he was going to do. At one point, during his correspondence with Reb Kivega writes back to Tzviyash Kalisha. He says, "I'll tell you the truth. I'm old. I'm not feeling so well right now." And Chamdish Tekoyach Mamshich Tzayin Disgrace Raid. So he said, "What I've done is I forwarded this discussion to my son-in-law, the Chassam Sofer in Pressburg." He knew this is where this was going to end. And he said, "I asked him to please take over from here and see what you can do." The Chassam Sofer took this very, very seriously. Very, very, very seriously. And what he did was, he asked a Yid that he knew was going to Eretz Yisrael. He said, "Do me a favor, go to Eretz Yisrael and do a little due diligence. Find out if it's even a Geya. Find out if it's Shayach. I mean, is this something that's possible?" And this Shliach, there were two Shluchim that came back to the Chassam Sofer, and they both came back with the same report. They said that the Tsar in Yerushalayim, the person that calls the shots, who Captain Gadol, he's a big captain. And he said, "You want to bring karbanis? Davzan a Muslim. But otherwise, you can't. It's not shayach. Kisham nivna beis avoyda shalehem. V'oymrim, they say, she'evin shasiyah be'emtza akipa ahi, that the evin shasiyah is in the middle of their dome." Some say for writing. V'lo yikra la'yikarev sham ish zar she'ena memunasa. And if someone doesn't believe in their faith, he's not going to allow them to come. And as a result, it's not going to be okay. What's fascinating is that if you go through the Hemshech of the Tshuva of the Chassam Sofer, it's clear that the Chassam Sofer was willing to go forward with it. He was willing. Halachically, he was okay. Listen to his Lashon in the end. Okay, lafi ani es daiti. This is mamash an excerpt, but you have to really see the whole thing to appreciate this. Like tzrichen l'koyim miyuchas. He said, "You don't need l'koyim miyuchas." The noichal sham min apsachim al kopanim shohot tuma betzibor. I'm okay at the very least. You can eat a carbon pasach and so over there is tumas hotcha betzibor. For like tzarech l'shkalim, and then he threw in very cryptically v'loy l'koyim gadol. You don't even need l'koyim gadol. He was bavarning. Maybe you need a kain gadol. When he threw in, you don't need a kain gadol. And the question is why? Rabbi Yitzchak Shmelkis is kasha. But either way, this is what he throws in, that you wouldn't even need a kain gadol. But the point is, what's that? But the Ram Sheet is Tumat Chuyah B'Tzibor. Oh, his Lashon is Tumat Chuyah B'Tzibor. Very good. Al Kumpanim Shohut Tumat B'Tzibor. Because at least Tumat Chuyah B'Tzibor. Aye, very good. So he was going Tumat Chuyah B'Tzibor, and that's why he needed Kohen Gadol. It's Pasha, right? That's what he meant. Because he was taking on the position Tumat Chuyah B'Tzibor, and as a result, if Tumat Chuyah B'Tzibor, that's his Hemshuch, then you don't need Kohen Gadol. Shkoyach Rav Shimi. But either way, so the Chassam Sofer was theoretically willing to go along with this. But he said, practically speaking, it's not Lamaisa. Why is it not Lamaisa? Because at the end of the day, you're not going to be able to make those. Interesting. This tshuva, Chassam Sofer, is a tshuva that the Chassam Sofer wrote to Reb Kivega. Right? See what happened? Reb Kivega told Reb Tzviyash Kalisha, "I'm forwarding the correspondence to Chassam Sofer." But he didn't like pass over the discussion. Reb Kivega Keilu was going in between. So he wrote a letter to the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer wrote back to Reb Kivega, and then Reb Kivega wrote back this letter to Reb Tzviyash Kalisha. That's the galgal. That's the way this worked. It's interesting that if you look in the tshuvas, this tshuva is written in tshuvas Chassam Sofer. It's Yerides, tshuva Reish Lamed Vav. By the way, you know, location, location, location. But if you go through these tshuvas in Chassam Sofer, these are all the tshuvas we talked about at Eretz Yisrael. Reish Lamed Gimel is the tshuva that he wrote to his Talmud, Rav Avraham Chassida, where he encouraged him to leave Tveria and he should go settle in Yerushalayim. Reish Lamed Dal, Reish Lamed Hey, are tshuvas that he wrote to Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolis. And that's where he talks about Miron and these famous, famous tshuvas. In Chassam Sofer, where he's building up, you know, the mile of living in Yerushalayim, etc., etc. And then Reish Lamed Vav, he talks about bringing Karbonis Bezman Hazer, right? You have to, we're being Darish Smuchin here in tshuvas Chassam Sofer. But this is already pushing it, I think. Pnimius Atayra in the Simonim of Chuvas Chassam Sofer. Reb Chesky's even, I think he said the wrong way. But if you look, this same Chuvas printed in Chuvas Reb Kivega. And in Chuvas Reb Kivega, it doesn't have the end of the Chuvas. I don't know. But Al Kopanim, the Chuvas written in Chuvas Chassam Sofer, and the Chuvas Reb Kivega, in Chuvas Reb Kivega, it's the Chedek Reb Kivega tells Reb Tzviyash Kalisha that it's not Negeya. That my Edom, the Chassam Sofer, told me it's not going to be Negeya. But there's a fascinating postscript that we're going to end with this. And that is, Reb Tzviyash Kalisha didn't stop. Reb Tzviyash Kalisha was going to make this happen. He really wanted this. He thought this was 100% the right thing to do. So listen to what Tzviyash Kalisha did. Came up with an idea. He wrote a letter to Baron Usher Ansher Rothschild. He wrote a fascinating letter, and he tells Baron Rothschild, I'm about to make you an offer. You can't refuse. I'm going to give you the greatest business opportunity. Now, this is a facsimile of the actual letter that he wrote. That is the letter. That's not the letter. It's not the real one. That would be in a safe. But this is a but this is the this is the letter that Rabbi Hirsch Kalischer wrote to Baron Rothschild. And he told him that I believe that there's a ruach in the world right now. Mashiach is supposed to come. But we need to make a shtadlis for Mashiach to come. And in the letter, he clearly took Baron Rothschild to be a learned fellow because he discussed a lot of lumps in this letter. And he tells him the Radak and the Ramban and the Rabbeinu Bechaya. And he made his case as a Sefri that this is what you're supposed to do. And we have to go to Eretz Yisrael. We go to Eretz Yisrael and the Eibishter is going to ultimately bring the Gula. He says, however, I understand it's practically, it's not going to be so easy. He said, here's my idea, buy the country. So he told him. He said, buy the country. Buy Eretz Yisrael. He said, I can't believe it's not for sale. He says, it's got to be for sale at a certain price. Don't buy the country. He said, then it's over. It's game over. You buy it. And then he said, you'll tell me maybe it's too expensive. Buy Yerushalayim. We don't need all Eretz Yisrael. Let them have Zagot. Give them the Golan Heights. Tachlis, we need Yerushalayim. If we have Yerushalayim, we'll be able to start bringing Koros. And he said, I think it's a good investment. He says, because can you imagine now if Eretz Yisrael belongs to the Jews, all the Yidden are going to come there. You can have the number one economy in the world. You can start selling developments and parcels of land. He said, it's going to be the best investment you ever made in your life. And he said, not just that, you're going to be Koin Olam Haba. And he writes to him, Bezeh HaLoshen, timely, Umi Oideya, Im le'es kazois, he got l'malchus. He said, in history, there was never a gvir in Klal Yisrael that had such power, had such influence. And if you're in such a position, how do you know the Eibishter didn't give you everything he gave you for you to be able to pull off this move? This is what he told him. And Rav David Katz told me that if you want to really appreciate it, he says, you have to understand that at that time, Eretz Yisrael was being controlled by the Turks, the Ottoman Empire, and they were bankrupt, and they had no money, and that's why Rabbi Tzvi Kalischer knew there was an opportunity. He said there were a lot of countries that were suffering terribly, and Rothschild, everybody knows, besides for, you know, producing good wines, but that's not how he made his money. No, but the Rothschild was in the banking business, and he was lending money to countries. He was floating countries. There were countries that were literally turning on the lights in the morning because of the Ashiris of Baron Rothschild. And Rabbi Tzvi Kalischer felt that he can use that influence that he has over the Turks, and he said, buy them a small land somewhere, Uganda, and put them there. He says, and let the Yidden have Yerushalayim. He says, I think this is going to work. So I asked Rabbi Katz, I said, is there an ending to the story? He says, well, the only part of the ending I know is that Rothschild, obviously, for whatever reason, didn't take him up on the offer. You know, he said something interesting that, you know, so much of the tumult that came about, you know, with the Samirov and the Sholei Shfuas and Sholei Yalu B'chaim, it would have all been prevented, right? You have the goyness of what he was saying. Why do you have to be Yalu B'chaim? You don't have to fight a war. He said, just buy it. You can walk, that's what Avraham Avinu did. Avraham Avinu said, I'll buy the Maros HaMachpelah. He said, get a Vitoshav, I have the rights to it, I don't have the rights to it, what's the difference? Let me go ahead and let me just buy it. And that was what he was going to do. He says, the Rambam, when he describes the difference between Kedusha Rishayna and Kedusha Shniyah, so the Rambam says, Kedusha Rishayna was Aydei Kivush, Kedusha Shniyah was Aydei Chazaka. It was Aydei Chazaka. They just came in, they made a Chazaka. They paid for it, and they made a Chazaka. So he said, that's what you should be able to do. The time wasn't right for it, and obviously that's the real reason that it didn't happen. And we should all be zeicha, v'sham neicham, v'nasvachim, v'napsachim, to be a skoil tzedek, v'mher b'yameinu, amen.